Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bring in our guy, Jason Jones. Jason Jones hosts every podcast on the planet except for the J Street Vibes podcast. He got his We Watch Wrestling. Of course, he's on The Athletic. Jason, what's good, man?
Not much. I think Kenny did me like Joe Budden did on the podcast. He told me to take some shows off.
See?
So I just had to go off, you know, and spend some
time, just contemplate, you know.
Y'all busy hanging out with Rick Ross. I'm over here watching the Kings. I mean,
cold world out there.
For the people don't want to believe me. We did have a power meeting through chat last night.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. You will see us next week. We promise you.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Detox on its way, too. That's what I heard. I heard Kendrick Lamar about to drop an album any day. It's about to happen. Outkast reuniting also. So that's exciting stuff. We asked this question a minute ago, and I don't know why we asked it before you joined us. Is this the biggest game you've covered for the Sacramento Kings, especially this late in the season?
I thought about it. I think it's probably especially this time of year, it's the biggest game since – the last version of Is This the Last Game in Sacramento?
Sure.
But yeah, I've never had a Kings game with this few games left that had anything other than lottery implications.
Wow. That's
so cool. This is a whole new world for me. I don't know what to do. You know, it kind of just speaks to how bad things have been when it's like the biggest game, you know, in recent memory isn't a game to get you, you know, home court advantage. It isn't even a game to get you in. It's a game to get you within a game and a half of getting into the play-in.
Right.
I want to point out, Jason, we know this is ridiculous, bro. Like, we get it. We get how ridiculous what you just said is. But it's still, like you just said, it's never been anything but lottery implications, so it's exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, and I give the guys a lot of credit. I think if they had gone down to L.A. and got spanked and then went and lost in Dallas – I don't think anyone would have looked at them and said, oh, yeah. They would have said, okay, you're down a bunch of guys, and you lose Tyrese in Dallas. I don't think anyone would have thought anything differently. But, I mean, we should maybe expect this because of the way this team has been all year. Just when you think they're done, they'll figure something out to try to draw you back in.
Absolutely. Jason, I remember we were talking one time, and you talked about it was a while ago. It was during the last J Street Vibes podcast. But you talk. I think the conversation of how to finish this season, tank or no tank, or try to win or whatever, on the deadline actually. And I always remember you said this team has flamed out the last few years. You know, even during the Jaeger year, it was a good start, flamed out. Last year they get to the bubble, flamed out. He said, regardless of if you make it or not, you felt like it was important for them to finish on a positive note, winning games or whatever the case may be. Do you think that this finish right here is kind of what you're talking about? Even if they don't make it, just finishing on a high note and not on a flam out.
I think it's exactly what, at least from my point of view, you needed to see from them. Some upward, you know, trending upward at the end instead of trending back down, which has been really the case the last however many years. They really needed to continue to build some type of winning habit, some type of good things to go into the offseason. I mean, they're not bad enough to really tank. You know, if they're at full strength, you know, between De'Aaron Harrison and everyone, they weren't going to be as bad as an Oklahoma City. They weren't going to fall to the bottom, you know, they weren't going to be that bad. They just had too much compared to those other teams. But on the other hand, even if you don't get in, you know, the draft, I would say it's a lottery, number one. You could finish 10th and still move up. And secondly, there's no guarantees in the draft. You know, you could think a guy's a can't-miss prospect at 1, 2, or 3 and find out number 12 is the can't-miss guy. So why not just win some games? I mean, what do you – you know, I understand the whole we need more lottery balls, but, you know, after the last 14 years, I can't understand why Kings fans still have so much faith in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, it would just seem like, you know what, let's just see can these guys finally put it together to a degree, make a push, and maybe just the feeling of playing meaningful games at the end can be kind of a carrot going into next year. Say, if we take care of business the first few months of the season, maybe instead of being 2.5 out with 5 or 6 to go, we're 2.5 in. So I think this is a real positive thing.
And the question that we've been trying to figure out, Jason, is how? Like, how do we – you're reporting on De'Aaron Fox going into health and safety protocols. You're reporting on the Tyrese Halliburton injury. You're reporting on a Harrison Barnes injury. Yet 4 games later, after a 49-point blowout to the Utah Jazz, we're talking about a meaningful game against the San Antonio Spurs tonight. How has DeLon Wright stepped into this position? How has Mo Harkless stepped up his role? How has Buddy – somehow become like this vocal leader on the team on the floor? Like, how is this happening?
I'm dumbfounded. Some, you know, I'm watching them late in games. They're using Buddy in pick and rolls, and he's dropping pocket passes. I'm like, who is this guy? It's a thing to watch, because I know late in games all season, one of the concerns was always, if Buddy has to have the ball, where will the ball end up? Will it end up at a teammate? Will it end up in the stand? You know, and you're watching them run plays with Buddy handling the ball. He's hitting Rashawn. You know, I think part of it is you got some kind of, I call them know-how guys, kind of like how Bazemore was last year, a guy who just knows how to play. And I think this is maybe on the defensive end, you always had Harrison, but now you add a guy, you add a Mo to that, you add a DeLon, you add guys who are just know-how guys. Yeah. And they may not be, you know, superstars, but they know how to play the game. And I think it's kind of rubbing off on it. I think maybe at the beginning of the year, this team was too young or just too inexperienced in some spots. And I can only wonder what would have happened if you had gotten this team guys like that March 1st instead of March 25th. You know, just some veterans to kind of help keep that thing stable, because to me, their up and downness was a lot to do with just guys who weren't stable and comfortable in the league. You know, when things are going well, they're world beaters. When things go bad, they would go all the way down. And now you got some more guys to help balance that out. And, you know, and I know the coaches have always said, they tell them, it's not as bad as you think it is. But when they would lose, I mean, and I really figured after that Utah game, I said, okay, it's over. There's no way you bounce back from this. But I probably should have been saying, you know what? I kind of said to myself, they'll probably beat the Lakers. Now watch. And sure enough, they did, and they've won, you know, 4 in a row. So, I mean, I give the players a lot of credit. I give the coaching staff credit for keeping these guys engaged, because after that Utah game, if these guys had started planning their vacations and kind of just figured we get blown out on this, you know, we go 1-3 on this trip, no one will care. I think a lot of people would have said, yeah, they'll go 1-3 on the trip, you know. We'll be talking about how bad things are. So you got to give a lot of those guys a lot of credit. And I even give Monty McNair credit for getting some of those guys in, because if that doesn't happen, think about it. Instead of having a Mo Harkless and maybe a Terrence Davis, that might be Nemanja Bjelica out there.
Oh, jeez. Goodness gracious.
I know Kenny would have loved that, you know, belly with big minutes down the stretch trying to get into the play.
What did Doc Rivers say? Jesus Christ, Jackson.
That's exactly what he said.
Jesus Christ, Jackson.
There he is. Yes, yes. Look, DeLon Wright has been phenomenal. Buddy Hield talking has been a revelation, and actually playing well, too. Mo Harkless, the return of Rashawn Holmes, all of that has been a sight to behold. But Jason, you're a writer. Damien, you're about the story. The biggest story here is what has gone on the last four games of Marvin Bagley III and what we have seen from him. And I know it's only four games. He looks completely different. He looks confident. He looks a little thicker, a little stronger. But more than anything, Jason, I feel like he just looks so much more sure of himself out there on the court. Well, what are you seeing from Marvin Bagley since his return?
I see a guy. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what that
hey,
is.
Hey, you already said Jason Jones' house.
Oh, wow. This is what happens when you have.
It's lit, Jay.
You have that. You got a little random Jay-Z. I don't know why my TV did that.
It's lit at Jason Jones' house, boy. You know when Jay-Z just started playing.
Part of the song came on. And but as I was saying, Marvin just looks like he's comfortable. He knows where he needs to be. They're running things for him now. Part of it's out of necessity because you don't have guys, but they're running things that make sense. You know, you don't want to just throw Marvin on the block and say, let's back guys down. That's not him. You know, but they're getting it. He's cutting. He's catching the ball on the move and attacking. He's running the floor well. Marvin's the type of athlete where he should get 4, 6, 8 points a game by beating guys down the floor. I mean, most bigs can't run with him. And then you just see him building and all that. You see him attacking the glass. And it's kind of one of those things where you say, you know what? He's played barely over 100 NBA games. Hmm. You know, and big guys tend to take a little more time. And I just think he looks a lot more comfortable. And he just really had a lot of bad luck. And I think what really can also focus you, too, is, you know, he saw his name in all the trade stuff. You know, you see all that, you know, and a lot of times what'll happen with some guys is they'll take all that and say, you know what, I'm going to, you know, at least control what I control and play well.
Right.
And right. I knew he was different when I watched that Laker game. I said, oh, wow, look at him. He's getting hustle points. He's getting garbage points. He's running. He's just outworking these guys. And if he can do that on top of the offensive skills he already has, you know, I think we all know he can go get a bucket.
Right,
but if he's going to start building on that, you know, you can run things for him and not worry about it's going to be a black hole. If we get a ball to Marvin, it's not coming back out. You know, I think we're starting to see this kind of that growth process with him. And just, you know, imagine having to give a young player time. I mean, it happens.
Is the game plan different?
It's different. It's different now because if you remember, when everyone's healthy, you know, when Marvin and Rashawn are playing together, Marvin is camped out on the perimeter on offense. Because they need to create that space. But now they're running different things now, and they're featuring Marvin. I mean, before the injury, Marvin hardly ever got a play run for him. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't going into timeouts and saying, let's get Marvin the ball on a regular basis. But now you have to.
Yeah.
And they're running some different things. I think all of this has forced them to do some things you wouldn't have done. Like, you wouldn't have seen Buddy handling the ball in the fourth quarter. You know, the line of right obviously wouldn't have such a big role. And I think they can build on all these things going forward, knowing that Marvin can do some different things, knowing that, you know, you can both can speak to this. If you have a two guard who can also make plays off the dribble, it opens up different things. It takes pressure off De'Aaron. Now he doesn't get beat up all the time with the ball. You know, Tyrese is probably, you know, one of their best 3-point shooters. You can, you know, put him out there sometime, let him be a shooter. It gives you so much more you can do. If these guys, the things they're showing right now can carry over into the offseason, especially with a guy like Buddy, because I know the knock on him is that he's 27, 28. He's not going to improve. But the one thing about Buddy is he is a hard worker. For everything, you know, for all the mistakes he might make on the court, 99% of the time, he's going all out with his effort. And he's probably, you know, he's a gym rat. So you would just hope that eventually that ball handling work he told you he was doing will start to show in the game.
Facts. I remember we also talked about this on the Straight J Street Vibes podcast a long time ago. And you talked about how what we're seeing as far as running things through Marvin and giving him different looks, that was essentially Luke Walton's plan going into last season, right? And then he got hurt and they had to just kind of change some things around. Do you think it was a situation where because of Marvin's injuries, they didn't implement those sets, running things through him, because last year we put a lot into it and he wasn't able to stay healthy. Let's see if he can stay healthy. And then they were kind of forced into really going into that now. How do you think that why is he getting these type of looks? Because I agree with you. They're running stuff for him. They're looking for him now. why is it taking so long to get to this point?
Well, we got to remember, he pretty much didn't play last season. Yeah. last season, Rashawn Holmes wasn't supposed to be a starter. He was supposed to be battling with Harry for, 10th, 11th man minutes.
Yeah.
And the idea was to start Dwayne Dedmon. And then when you sat Dedmon, Marvin's your small ball five. He's kind of your, for lack of a better term, he's your Draymond type five, a guy who can get the rebound and push it and do different things. But then Marvin breaks his thumb first game of the year. And then when he comes back, Rashawn's established himself. You've kind of got the idea you need the spacing, the stretch four. So they bring him back as a backup five, people forget, because they figured five was the easiest spot for him to learn just to get himself caught up. And then when he goes back to the starting lineup, he gets hurt again. And they had a lot of plans for Marvin, just as far as, using him as essentially a small but not small center, a 6'11 guy who has small player skills at the five. They wanted to see him expand the three-point shot, do all these different things. They just never got a chance to do it. And then this season, once you get rolling, they weren't going to play Marvin in the fourth quarter to learn all that stuff when they're trying to win games, especially the fact that Tyrese comes in and all of a sudden Tyrese is a fourth quarter player from day one.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it with Marvin was circumstantial and just bad luck. I mean, even this last injury, you get your hand caught in someone's jersey. And then the foot thing, at the bubble, he lands on a teammate's foot in practice. He's had, I won't say the worst luck, because there's still guys like Odin out there and Sam Bowie who would argue that Marvin hasn't had the worst luck, but just.
Right. But in turn, but it's like,
say, wow.
It's like freak injury. Like, there's no, there's no reason to be concerned about his knees, or he's a big man. There's no reason to be concerned about his feet. Like, there's those concerns that you there's no Brandon Roy situation here.
No. I mean, the first one, I think it was DeAndre Ayton, hit him on the hand.
Right. Yeah.
Guys land on people's feet in practice all the time, and it just seemed like he was just unfortunate with some of these things. And then you get into the whole, well, what's going on? How come it's taking so long to get him back? And no one really understands what's going on. But that's kind of been the new, as we saw with the whole CIA of Tyrese's MRI. That's kind of been the thing everyone was wondering, well, what's going on? And I think it actually made Marvin look worse, because people are going, okay, they're not saying anything. Maybe Marvin doesn't want to play. And I know Marvin wanted to play. Even when he came back, he said, I was ready to go. I didn't want to be on a minutes restriction. But so I think, in the last, a couple of games, Luke just said, I had to blow through that because we needed him. So Marvin feels fine. And I just think you have to keep him to stay on the court. You keep him on the court. You got to go. You go in the next season with him and see what you got and build from there. I mean, all the trade stuff, a lot of it was, well, let's see what's out there. And they weren't going to move him for a second round pick. And it just wasn't going to happen.
Casey, real quick, did the thing with Tyrese Halliburton's MRI bother you?
It was more annoying, because it was just like, you figured once you turned on the game and saw the fact that he's on the bench and he's standing and cheering, that he didn't tear his ACL.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a weird way to handle it, to have Luke out there to say we're going to say something later, but he can't say it. It was just like, okay, what's going on?
Yeah.
You're literally watching the game and watching Tyrese jump up. Not literally jump. He's moving around. And so instead of talking about the fact you've won three in a row, we're all asking about Tyrese.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why not just get that out the way before the game? I mean, how many experts did you need for a knee hyperextension? I mean, I'm not a doctor. Maybe I'm a crazy one. But I just didn't see why, if the MRI was on Monday, why it had to come out after the game a day later. It was just a weird way to handle it, but we've been here for the last couple of years. I mean, Rashawn's shoulder injury was a sore shoulder. It was like, okay, what's going on with Rashawn? Yeah. Then all of a sudden, he's going to go, get this procedure. It's like, what? That's why, even to a degree, as weird as the Marvin thing was with him being gone, maybe he should have been gone to get healthy. It's just been some weird stuff. And I don't think it's any one person's fault. I really don't believe that, say, Luke is trying to have these secrets and not let it out. It's just a weird way to handle injuries. It's just really weird. And, hey, like I said, we went through it last year with Rashawn, and I said, to me, it makes the player look worse. Like, right. People are wondering, what's wrong with Rashawn? It says sore shoulder. It's been 2 months.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Jason, we've been trying to figure this out all day. And every time this Kings team, this particular team, has reached the point where they can turn a corner and, you know, they play well. It's like, all right, we want to see them come out and establish themselves early. Every single time this year, they've done the exact opposite. They've lost the game, look lethargic or whatever. Help us out, man. Help us out. Tell us it's going to be different tonight.
Yeah, you want me to make promises like, you know, you want me to be like one of those crooked preachers, sell you on hope and
brother love.
I can't make that promise. I have no idea what you can see from them. Like you said, every time you think, okay, they got it, they go out there and it's like, oh, you know, like, so, I mean, I believe you'll get a good effort. I don't know if they'll win, but to me, it's about how they play. If they come out and play the right way, play with the level of urgency and effort, I think you live with the result, but don't go out there and get down by 55 points.
Yeah.
Please don't.
Yeah, and the one thing that has been the case with this group, again, for whatever reason, the effort has been there.
Yeah, for the most part, I think there's maybe two or three games where I just kind of said, what was that? I mean, that Utah game, oof, the Detroit, the Corey Joseph bully game. I mean, those were a couple of games where I just said, what is wrong? I mean, this is ridiculous. But for the most part, I don't think you really question their effort. You can question other things, you know, whether it was they know what they're doing, you know, was the roster just not good enough. But I think this group will go out there and play with the right level of effort. And it's not like the Spurs are just rolling through the league right now. This isn't, you know, they're not coming out there with Duncan, Ginobili, and Tony Parker. I mean, they've got a killer schedule to end this season.
Yep.
So, you know, New Orleans has injury issues galore now. So why not go ahead and mess up my plans for May? And
there you go.
Yeah, I would fully support that because I've never covered a playoff game. Well, not a Kings playoff game. Yeah, I did years ago, but I don't really count that. I mean, it's the person covering the team full time. I've never done it, so if they want to ruin my plans to, you know, to be kicking it on May 17th, I wouldn't oppose that at all. I think it'd be good for the group too, just to at least taste that. And I think we see it with Phoenix, what just having some late season success did for them. Well, also Chris Paul, but you know, I just think that group gained a lot from just getting some good play in games that matter to the opponent.
Well, Jason Jones, go ahead.
Hey, this is breaking news. I'm saying it right now. Tuesday morning, JC Fribes, let's go. Set your calendars. Tuesday morning, you'll have it. Let's go.
Look at one host of the J Street Vibes doesn't make promises he can't keep, but the other one does. That's Jason Jones of The Athletic. Jason, thanks for joining us, man. We appreciate you so much.
No problem. Anytime, guys.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.